Let us open the Bible. It's Matthew chapter 13, verse 47 and verse 50, the parable of the net. It's a parable about evangelism, okay? The parable of the net. Our last parable in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 13, verse 47 to verse 50, only three verses. No, only four verses, 47, 48, 49, and 50, yeah. Matthew chapter 13, verse 47 to verse 50, the parable of the net, evangelism. Verse 47 says this: "Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Amen. Let us have a word of prayer. Jesus, we pray understanding, openness. I pray grace so that I preach. And we pray, Lord, that we are very encouraged to evangelize, Lord. You have chosen to finish the parable with evangelism. You have chosen to finish the Gospel of Matthew with the Great Commission. Lord, we want to choose to obey. We want to choose to evangelize, Lord. Give us grace, understanding, but above all, give us courage to do so. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Before we jump into the text, the introduction here is something we oversight. Saving grace and human responsibility. You may know, you may not know, in the history of the church, I don't know why, we like to fight. Do you like a good debate? You know, everybody likes a good debate. In church, they like a good debate. God saves you. And then they debate how much human responsibility we have in salvation. And the other side, humans need to believe. Humans need to repent. And now they debate how much of grace it is actually grace. Does God save me or do I save myself? Does God choose me or do I choose God? In church history, we always fall into these two things. Look at what Matthew does here. How many parables does he lay? Seven parables. What is the number seven in the Bible? Perfection. Completeness. God's number. So he starts with one introduction. How many parables are left over? Six. And he divided in two chapters. First chapter, three parables. We're going to talk about seeds. We're going to talk about the yeast. The kingdom of heaven is like the Son of Man who plants salvation in the human's heart. But he doesn't stop there. He finishes with three more parables. And now he changes the emphasis. Human responsibility. Which we started seeing last week. The gospel, salvation is a treasure. What do you do when you see the treasure? You sell everything. And you get the treasure. What do you do when you have the treasure? You cast the net because you want other people to have the treasure. Human responsibility, God's saving grace is the perfect picture. Not one conflicting the other, not one above the other. Look at me, I always do this. Kevin, make sure I'm in the center of the camera. Two legs. It doesn't make sense to make this left leg to kick the other leg. It makes sense to see things both ways. God saves you? Yes, indeed. Is His grace? Yes, indeed. Is His gift? Yes, indeed. You can never earn salvation? Yes, indeed. You gotta believe. You gotta repent. You gotta turn away from your sins. These things are never conflicting according to Matthew. Good? Clear? Now we can jump to the text. First point of this text is about evangelism. Church, automatically, when you think about the net, you remember Jesus calling the first disciples. Leave everything, come after me, I'm going to make you fisher of men. The first thing you remember. I do want you to know this is hard work. Have you ever been fishing? This is not retirement fishing, ice fishing, cottage fishing. You get the fish and then you throw it back to the lake. No, this is hard work. It's the net. From a Brazilian background, by the beach, as I walk on the shore of the most beautiful place on earth, I would see the guys pulling the net. And you know, 10 years me, I would come with my big arms and pull the net with the guys. Everybody on the beach would pull the net. The thing, it's heavy. Repeat with me. Heavy. This is hard work. And that's the idea Jesus is finishing the parable here. Church, He already talked to you about evangelism. It was the mustard seed. The mustard seed talks about the desire for evangelism. When Jesus saves me, that salvation wants to grow. That salvation wants to be shared. It does make sense. But we all need to be honest. We need more than just a desire to evangelize. It's not natural to us. It's not natural to us to talk about Jesus with a stranger. It is not an easy conversation to talk about Jesus at dinner table. So we need more than just a desire. We need to understand this is hard work and commit to it. You may not believe this. I don't like to speak publicly, but I have to. I don't like to be on camera. I don't like to know that anybody can see me. Right? It is not about my desire. It is hard work. It is a duty. It takes me out of my comfortable zone. Why? Because people need the gospel. Because people need the gospel. And the good news for all of us, church, that we serve a creative God. That, like the kid me, we can join the net. anyone can join the net and pull the net. So I do want to show you, you can preach the gospel in various ways. Okay? I'm going to show you. Kevin, make sure we are on the center camera. I have a surprise for you, church. I'm going to preach the gospel using little words. You always need to use words to the gospel. You cannot preach the gospel just like with good deeds. No. You always need to use words. But you can make things way more easy and comfortable because we serve a creative God. This is you. This is Jesus. I'm going to preach the gospel for you. Sometimes we are very tough, right? Where does Jesus go? Did you see the gospel? You and I always running away from Him. Him always coming after us. Did you see the gospel? Easy to understand, right? Do you need to be a pastor to do that? No, you don't. There is an awakening. Let me just organize this very quickly. There is awakening God's people to use TV, music, to go to the retirement homes with songs. Why? To preach the gospel. This is beautiful, church. This is beautiful. I love it. So preach the gospel. It is hard work, but be creative. Approach it. Sow seeds. Take the opportunities. Just do it. Just do it. Second point of this sermon, as we understand the urgency and the responsibility of preaching the gospel, let us just see the verse 48, then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, which are the believers who go to heaven, and threw the bad away. We want to organize what is good fish and what is bad fish, okay? So, the first thing we do need to understand, the net is wide, which means we have the duty to preach to everyone. We preach to Christians, we preach to non-Christians, we preach to the stranger, we preach to the family, we preach in our language, we preach in another language. Our duty is to go as wide as we can, okay? Preach to everyone. But here, let us focus on the who is the good fish and who is the bad fish according to our last parable. I don't have the right to say what is a good fish. The Bible has the right to say what is a good fish. According to our last parable, the parable of the treasure, very quick for those who are not here. The parable of the treasure is the man found a treasure and therefore he sells everything and gets the treasure. Okay? What is the treasure? The treasure is salvation. The treasure is the gospel. What is the selling of everything? That doesn't mean you can buy salvation. No. Why? Illustration. If I'm selling a car which costs $10,000 for a kid passing by the street for 10 bucks, obviously that kid has never bought the car. The 10 bucks is not buying the car. I am giving the car because I paid the price of the car. When we see that text, it's not talking about when we say that we sell everything and therefore now we have the treasure. No, we are not buying salvation. Jesus has paid the price for salvation and he has given to us freely. Okay? But what does it mean we sell everything for the sake of the gospel? We sell everything for the sake of the treasure. Here it's what it means, church. The first beatitude. What is the first beatitude? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What that parable last week taught us, when you come to God with empty hands. You are on your deathbed, ICU, and the doctor Jesus comes with a treasure for you, salvation. What do? You stretch empty hands. You found the treasure, which you can never buy. You sell everything, and how do you come? You come with empty hands. What is salvation, church? I have nothing to give to Jesus. I need forgiveness. Empty hands, Jesus, save me. That's good fish. What is bad fish? It's when you think you can buy the treasure. It's when you think you can buy salvation. It's when Jesus is coming to you like a doctor in the ICU. I have salvation for you. And instead of selling everything and stretching empty hands to Jesus, what do? Here is my good deeds, Jesus. I don't need your treasure. Here is my self-righteousness, Jesus. I don't need a treasure. Here is my tax filing, Jesus. CRA has never come my way. See how good citizen I am. Here is, Jesus, my background check. I don't need a savior, Jesus. I am good. Who needs a savior? The guy next to me. Who needs a savior? The guy who is in prison. Who needs a savior? The guy who is not so good. And then they come to Jesus with their own righteousness. That's bad fish. Why is he bad fish, church? Because he doesn't realize he's a sinner. He doesn't realize he needs a savior. He doesn't realize that only Jesus and his grace can save him. That's the difference between good fish and bad fish, which is the paradox that the world will never understand. Who is saved people? People who know they are not good. Therefore, they ask for a savior. Who are the bad fish? People who think they don't need a savior. And therefore, they are okay. The world does not understand that. For the world and all the religions of the world, if you do good, you go to heaven. If you do bad, you go to hell. That's the normal way of thinking. The Bible provides another way of thinking. We all need a savior. we all need to repent. And the moment we stretch empty hands to Jesus, he saves us. Heaven. Do you understand that? And we finish this with the very tough part of this sermon, hell. Very, very tough. Verse 49 and verse 50. Pay attention to verse 50. The bad fish is thrown to the fire where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So good fish go to heaven. Those who understand they are sinners, those who understand they need to stretch empty hands to Jesus, and Jesus saves them. All the rest goes to hell. A very quick housekeeping for us here, church. I have been in Canada for 7 years, okay? So, and I'm a good Christian boy. I go to church. I have been to various churches. I can tell you, I'm not afraid to make a mistake. We don't talk about hell. Not afraid to say that. And that's wrong. Okay? You're going to see the churches talking about family, health, money, stewardship, generosity, how to be a good citizen, how to have a meaningful life, don't waste your life, you know, do something useful with your life. All of these are biblical, yes or yes, right? Jesus has a saying on all of those things, absolutely. But that's not the real issue. That's not the real issue. Humanity has a problem with sin. That's the real issue. Okay? If just to feel good, Jesus didn't need to come and die for us. A philosopher, a good politician would do that for us. Jesus came to die for our sins. We are talking about eternity. So it is a wake-up call for us to bring back this subject to our pulpits. In 7 parables, Jesus talked about hell twice. This is a pretty substantial amount of time. Out of 7, 2. Okay? We need to bring this subject back to our churches. Not just hell. Even in the good perspective, heaven, eternity, the second coming of Jesus, all of those things need to come back to the church. Okay? So this is a good housekeeping for us. And I do want to spend a short amount of time in this verse. I believe it's on the screen. Fire, weeping, and gnashing of teeth. I'm not going to talk about the doctrine about hell. I'm not going to talk why hell, why not hell. Does it make sense? Doesn't make sense? No. I'm going to stick with the text. The text is one verse, and the text is giving you 3 characteristics about hell. Okay? Fire, weeping, and gnashing of teeth. Fire. We struggle to understand that. Me, you, all of us struggle to understand that. Fire, in essence, fire is not bad. In essence. Okay? I know when we talk about fire, we always think about a building caught fire. Paris, Notre Dame, caught fire. Hell, caught fire. But in essence, fire is neutral, church. You can't tell fire is evil or fire is good. The fire also purifies the gold. Yes or no? The fire also built some nice car from GM. Yes or no? Is that clear? So never, never, never make this mistake when you think about hell and fire. Never make this mistake to think God is evil. Never. Okay, I'm just already clarifying to you. Fire, we attach with evil. But fire in itself has zero about that. All that I'm saying, fire comes on the cross. Fire comes on Good Friday. Fire, wrath, comes to our beautiful sacrifice, Jesus Christ, to the point that he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But fire doesn't consume Jesus. On the third day, what happens? Pure like gold, he raises. He raises with a new body. He raises with a glorified body. He raises for eternity. But when fire comes to the bad fish, but when fire comes to the hay, when fire comes to the stakes, the twigs, the tree, what does fire do? Fire consumes. That's the idea of hell here, okay? Second thing that we see here, it's the weeping. Church, we think about pain, and it's true, pain. But the weeping, church, has more than just pain. I'm gonna illustrate this with a common thing for all of us. You have a lump. No, it's not my belly. Not my belly. You have a lump. And then you go, this is weird. And it hurts. I never shed one tear. It hurts, but I never cried. I go to the doctor. Check up. The doctor comes back to me. What does he say? Cancer. Now the tear comes. But it's worse. The doctor says, we don't know the healing for that one. I'm sorry, you have only 1 year more of life. Now, I'm tearing down. Why am I weeping? Not because of the pain itself, because of the desperation. That's the weeping here. When people are thrown to hell, it's the point of no return. There is no more I'm coming back. There is no more second chance. The treasure, salvation, Jesus was in front of them. All they needed to do it was to sell everything and come empty hands. I repent, I believe, I receive. But they didn't. Now it's the point of no return. And that's why they are crying. And the gnashing of teeth, you think it's pain. You think it's pain. It's not. And this is going to be the way we're going to finish the sermon. Gnashing of teeth, church, it's actually hate. Kevin, am I on the central camera? Zoom me. Zoom. This is gnashing of teeth. You make me mad, what am I going to do? I'm gnashing my teeth at you. I hate you. You know? You're going to say in the Bible, they stoned Usually the Bible says gnashing their teeth, or the Bible give a facial expression before the people stone. You're going to see that in the Acts chapter 7 when the Jewish people stoned Stephen to death. The Bible always give a facial expression to tell you they are hating. They are in war against. Okay? The people, who are the people who are in hell? The people who hate God. Remember, that was the way we started this parables, church. The introduction of the parable. Some receive, some don't receive. Some understand, some don't understand. I gave you the example of Donald Trump. Do you remember? You'll never forget that example. If you like the man, you're going to try to understand what he says. If you hate the man, you will not try. We end the same way we began. Who are the people who are in hell? The people who hate Jesus. No parable, no cross, nothing he does, they accept. They are, I don't want you, I don't love you, I hate you. Period. That's the gnashing of teeth here. Which makes us wonder, church, when we think about hate, we only think about rage. Who are the people who hate God? Oh, the ones who are vocal, the ones who protest, the ones who insult Christians. The one who are blasphemous, cursing. That's true, that's hate. But church, there is another level of hate. And that level of hate, it's indifference. Is that the right word, indifference? Ask any counselor, couples counselor, what is the worst sign of a couple? When the couples are fighting, the counselor is okay. It's fine. There is love. That's why they're fighting. But when they come to the office and they are like this, whatever. 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 That's when the counselor starts like to be like this. It's the worst form of hate. It's when you lost your love. There is zero feeling over there. To put this in a simple way for you, if somebody touches my family, automatically I will protect my family. It's automatically. If somebody touches my family and I don't do anything, that's crazy. That's the worst. I have come bottom pit in my love. I am dry, soulless, empty. Who are the people who go to hell? Not just the ones who curse Jesus at his face, but also the ones who, knowing Jesus exists, live like he never. Oh yeah, God exists. Good for him. I'll keep doing my life. Do you believe in God? Yes, I believe. But he doesn't has anything, one saying in my life. I just do my life. That's the worst form of hate. I'm sorry, this is harsh. I know. This is the way Jesus chose to finish. I just obey him. Church, That's why we need to preach. That's why we need to evangelize. And that's why we don't want a faith in us that it's lukewarm, that it's indifferent. We want to love God well because we are His disciples. Who doesn't love Him and who are indifferent to Him are the ones who gnash their teeth at Him. That's not who we are. We are all disciples. We love Him. We really do. He is a treasure. Amen. Amen. Amen.